Good afternoon. Daniel chapter 9 is where we are. Daniel chapter 9, it's almost an interlude to the visions that God had given prophet Daniel. He takes time to pray, and he says there in chapter 9, verse 1, in the first year of Darius, son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, was king over the realm of the Chaldeans in the first year of his reign. I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplications, with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments, we have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes, to our fathers and all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us shame of face as it is this day, to the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, those near and those far off in all the countries to which you have driven them, because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. O Lord, to us belongs shame of face, to our kings, our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which is set before us by his servants, the prophets. Yes, all Israel has transgressed your law and has departed so as not to obey your voice. Therefore, the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of the Lord, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against you. And he has confirmed his words, which he spoke against us and against our judges who judged us, by bringing upon us a great disaster, for under the whole heaven such as never been done as what has been done to Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not made our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn away from our iniquities and understand your truth. Therefore the Lord has kept the disaster in mind and brought it upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in all the works which he does, though we have not obeyed his voice. And now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and made yourself a name, as it is to this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because of our sins. And for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people are a reproach to all those around us. Now therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications, and for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear and hear, open your eyes and see our desolations, and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city and for your people are called by your name. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you so much for the opportunity we have to talk to you all the time. Thank you so much that you delight in our prayers. You listen and answer us, O God, each time we call upon you to act, Lord. Pray, Jesus, that you'd refresh our minds and our hearts and our lips, Lord, to pray, to intercede, O God, to pray for our country, to pray for our nation, to pray for our people, O God, to pray for Israel, to pray for the whole world, especially that they would come to the truth, that they would repent, that they would seek your forgiveness, and they would enter your kingdom. May you empower us with your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Daniel, the first year of Darius, he's reading the Bible. He's reading the parchments of the prophecies of Jeremiah, probably Isaiah 2. I'm sure he's just looking for biblical information. He's just looking for growth in the knowledge of the Word. And guess what? He finds out that it is going to be 70 years for Israel to be in captivity. Now, most of them had not known that. Daniel, 66 years into captivity, did not know that it was only 4 years to their freedom. And when he discovers it's 4 years to freedom, Nehemiah is going to be sent out to see the destruction, the state of Jerusalem, and then a second journey is going to be made for the reconstruction and the restoration of the city and the temple. So it's 4 years, it's exciting. And you know what? Knowing it's just a little bit of time left for them to go back home, obviously Daniel won't make it, he's going to die before he goes back to Jerusalem. He turns his face toward Jerusalem and he prays. He can't wait to go home. But before he goes home, he has a chance to petition God. Now, we know that he was a prayerful man. We've seen from his biography here that he prayed. It wasn't just reactional prayer. It wasn't just occasional prayer. He lived a lifestyle of praying. He prayed all the time like we should. And he says, with fasting, sackcloth and ashes, with humility and all honesty. This was the Jewish expression of seriousness. When a Jewish man would mourn, they would tear their clothes and, you know, cover themselves with ashes just to express their grief and mourning. And for Daniel, just to express the condition of his heart, his longing to go back to Jerusalem, his desire for the city to be reconstructed, he keeps away from food for a while. He puts on sackcloth, mourning attire, covers himself with ashes, and he prays. And I made supplication to God. He said, I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession. The first thing we see here is knowing the Word. He knows just 4 years to go home. He was committed to the truth. Are you committed to the truth? Are you committed to the Word of God? Do you take time? Do you schedule personal Bible reading? Well, do you have even a Bible? Do you have it? We study it here book by book, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, word by word. Do you actually have a Bible? Do you have a personal time when you open up just like Daniel did and make some discoveries that you may not have known? He was reading Jeremiah 25, verses 11 to 13. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Then it will come to pass, when 70 years are completed, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, the land of the Chaldeans, for their iniquity, says the Lord. And I will make it a perpetual desolation. So will I bring on that land all my words which I have pronounced against it, all that is written in the book which Jeremiah has prophesied concerning all the nations. And also in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you again and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. Now we know that Jeremiah 29:11 is so popular. We kind of know it word for word, right? Well, did you know Jeremiah 29:10? And it was a reference to the 70 years that the Israelites would spend in captivity, and then they would go home. You want to discover the will of God? It is in the Word. There is no way we will discover it until we look in Scriptures. And it will guide and lead us, not only to know, but to act accordingly. So Daniel would not have known this if he was not committed to Bible reading. So he's informed, and then he prays, and he starts praying. Then verse 4 says, I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession. Prayer starts with confessing your sins. He confesses the sins of Israel, and he includes himself with the nation. He is an Israelite. It's very easy for us to be self-righteous and say, ah, for us, we are excellent, we are righteous, we are good, but it's those guys over there who have a big problem. It's those over on the other side of the world that have a big problem. For us, we are good. No, he was an Israelite, and he knew that the nation was either blessed or cursed as a whole. He says, we have sinned. Then verse 5, we have done wickedly, we have rebelled, we have departed from your precepts, we have not been prayerful. Then verse 13, we have not even turned back to you. That's a lot of confession. Not only have we been sinful, we have not even turned away from our sins. 7 years into captivity, they had not even turned away from their sins. And that's why Daniel's praying. Intercession is praying for others. For him, he's praying for his country. And the first thing he realizes that all of us have sinned. The Bible says there is no, not one who is righteous. Not one does good. And when we start accusing others of being really bad, but for us we are good, then we have a big problem. We have to include ourselves in this mess because we contribute to it because of our sinful hearts and our sinful deeds. He's basically saying we are all as bad and we deserve this punishment upon us. He says, God, you've been faithful and righteous and merciful. It's not your problem that we are in captivity. It is our problem. It is our disobedience and faithfulness. We departed from your ways. He says, this has become what it is and has come upon us as a fulfillment of the law of Moses. Moses would proclaim in Deuteronomy the blessings of obedience and the curses of disobedience. And he told them, choose today, choose life or death. Choose obedience or disobedience. Choose blessings or curses. It's upon you. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, and the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. If you obey, you are going to be on top of everyone. However, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15, but it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. You know what he's saying? God, you're just being true to your word. You told us if we would obey, we'd be blessed. And that if we would not obey, we'd be cursed. And that is just what is happening before us. Daniel knows the way out of this. It's confession. It is admitting that you are sinful. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, we know this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Don't step out into prayer thinking, oh God, I'm so good. You should bless me because I'm so good. God, you really need to bless me. I'm one of your best. Can't you see? No. God, you are so faithful and great and wonderful. I am not. And I come before you as a child on my knees because of your mercy, because of your goodness, not because of anything that I've done. All I have done is been running away from you, but you have been faithful to pursue me and to bring me back to yourself, to forgive me and to cleanse me. So remember confession. And then Daniel asks God to forgive and to restore. Then verses 16 to 19, he's basically in many words saying, God, please forgive us. He does not stop at confession. He says, because we've confessed our sins and admitted that we are completely under your judgment, God, will you please forgive us? It's very easy to stop at confession. Maybe you know some people in your life, you get them in wrong, all they'll do is say, okay, I'm in the wrong. All right, you're right, I did it. But do they go ahead and say, I did it, I committed wrong, please forgive me? Not so many go to the second level. Daniel knows it's not just admitting that you're wrong, that you're in a pit. You need to be forgiven. You need your way out of the pit. He says, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary. Please forgive because of your great mercies. After confession, we have to ask God for forgiveness. Now, this very pattern of prayer is the very same way Jesus would teach us how to pray. Do you see the righteousness of God? Hallowed be your name. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Cleanse us of all unrighteousness. In Psalm 25, verse 18, look on my affliction and pain and forgive all my sins, the psalmist prayed. Lord, look at my sinfulness. Look at my failures. Look at my unfaithfulness and please forgive. Go to the next step and ask for forgiveness. In Psalm chapter 86, verse 5, for you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive. He declares, abundant in mercy to all those who call upon your name. God is always ready to forgive. He is so forgiving that quite often we do wrong intentionally because he knows, because we know, he'll forgive us anyway. And even when we take advantage of his grace and mercy, he still forgives. Can you imagine? And in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Daniel said, we've not turned away from our sins. We've not even been praying. We've been prayerless. We've even failed to understand the truth. The Bible instructs there that we should be prayerful for all people. We should pray for everyone. We should pray for those in authority, the leaders. And he says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved. The core of our prayer is that men should turn away from their wickedness and come to God for salvation. That was what needed to happen to the Israelites, and that is what needs to happen to each one of us and to all of us. Now, when Daniel was looking toward Jerusalem and praying, he knew that the country was completely destroyed. And he says that this has never happened before. He says, for as long as I've been alive, I've not seen a city that has been completely destroyed and not reconstructed for 70 years. 70 years, 7 decades. Now, obviously, he's homesick. He wants to go home. He can't wait to go home. But you know what? There's nothing there. It's just tall grass and wild animals. Lord, I want to go home, but God, there's nothing there. Please shine your face on your sanctuary. Please look upon us with grace. Forgive. Please restore. Just a few years from now, Nehemiah would be led to go and spy out what was required to reconstruct the city and the temple and all. And it would take a lot of money, it would take a lot of time, it would take a lot of effort. We are going to have so many difficulties. There are those who are going to discourage them. There are those who are going to actually attack them while they were constructing Jerusalem and the temple and all. And with all that in mind, God, please look upon us with grace. Please provide for the strength that is necessary. Now remember, in Babylon, they were slaves. They were working without pay. They don't even have the money to rebuild one wall. It would require God's provision. Now we know that God would provide through the king at that time, who asked Nehemiah, so what do you want? Good question. He said, I want everything that is needed to rebuild a home. And God, through this king, would provide a lot of resources for the Israelites to return to Jerusalem, rebuild the temple, and rebuild the city. They needed God's restoration. Do you know that after forgiveness, God restores? When we sin against God, He cleanses us of all unrighteousness, and then we embrace again. We are friends again. We relate again. And when we are praying for our country, when we are praying for people, we are really praying for them, above all, to be connected with God. One author wrote that Daniel prayed as a patriot, but a patriot more of the kingdom of God than the kingdom of Israel. We should pray with similar patriotism for the kingdom of God. And to us, Christian patriotism means love to the church of God, praying for other Christians. We are God's representation on earth. They were God's representation on earth. Imagine what happens when the representatives, the delegates of God, are completely in failure. What do you expect of the rest? What happens when we, the church, fail to do what we're supposed to do? What do you think of the others who are still in darkness, who are still lost? Pray confessing your sins and the sins of your country. Ask God for forgiveness and restoration. And lastly, he says, God, please listen and act. God, do something about it. Do not delay, for your name's sake and for your land's sake and for your city's sake. This was the glorious land. This was the city of God. This was where his presence lived, literally among his people. You could see the glow of God's presence in the temple. God, act. You know what needs to happen. Do something about it. In Psalm 44, verse 26, the psalmist prayed, arise for our help and redeem us from your for your mercy's sake. God, arise. And that word arise was an active word, that God, take action. It's like asking somebody who is sitting to get up. And that was what would happen when they would move the Ark of the Covenant, this box, this golden box that represented the presence of God among them. And they would lift the Ark, and when God said, all right, you go this direction, you go for war, and this would be their guide. And getting the Ark on their shoulders and moving it was a picture of God arising, God getting up to act. Not that God is dormant, sitting there doing nothing, but it was practically a picture among them of God saying, all right, I'm going to do something about that now. I'm going to break your enemies. I'm going to restore you. I'm going to take you back. And thousands of them would march back to Jerusalem and would start reconstructing this temple and this city. In Psalm 109, verse 26, "Help, O Lord, my God. Oh, save me according to your mercy." God help. God act. God arise. Do not delay. And God promises in 2 Chronicles, we know this verse, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. It says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sins and heal their land." What an amazing promise. Now, if you are Daniel and looking towards Jerusalem and it's destroyed, and it's a lot of work, the people are in sin, they need forgiveness, you're not even a country anymore. You look for the nation of Israel in Daniel's day and it's not there. It's just geography. The people are not there. That was for Daniel. How about you? How about me? Think about your home. Where do you come from? Is your home town or home city, your home country at its best in regard to the fear of the Lord? None of us would say yes. Look at our own city. Disorder literally everywhere. Lawlessness on the increase. Look at our country. And we've been reading about the torture, the injustice that has been happening in the recent past. Now it has come to be known. The budgeting process. Did you read how the country needs 53 billion shillings to print national IDs that could be printed in Nazareth for 1,000 shillings each? I mean, it's about 10 million IDs. Can you imagine 53 billion? Look at the corruption, the misappropriation of funds. Look at the political uncertainties around us. Our neighbors in Kenya are voting in August, and it's tense there. Our neighbors on this side in the West, the Congolese, I think they don't even want to vote anymore. I think the president said, you know what, let's just keep postponing this thing until someday. You know, our neighbors in the North, South Sudan, completely torn because of war, completely torn. Somalia on the other side. And our neighbors in the South, the election fever is also coming up. Right, they removed their term limit, so the general is still going to be there, I suppose. I mean, but look at our own country. Our aging president doesn't want to mention anything about succession. What if we wake up tomorrow and he's gone? I mean, imagine the chaos. I mean, who would be in charge? And are you praying? We can easily sit and complain about the disorder and the corruption and the torture and the injustice, food shortage and all those things, and forget to pray. Are you praying for your country? Are you praying for your leaders? Are you praying for the church? I mean, look at the church. I mean, you look at churches all around the world, but particularly in our city, it's like comedy. You almost can't believe what you're watching, right? Like, really, that's happening? Hardly is the gospel clearly taught. Hardly is a mention of sin and confession. It's just what? Blessing. God promised, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, admit your sinners, and pray and seek my face." And we can seek his face in prayer, in studying the word, in constantly obedience to him. There is one difficult part. Turning away from wickedness. That is where the trouble is. A lot of people will admit they're Christians, but will not turn away from their wickedness. Every month, by the way, our cabinet meets to fellowship. Did you know that? At the Speak Resort Minyonyo. If you go there, I think it's a Tuesday, the very middle Tuesday somewhere in the month. They go there every month. Almost all of them, our cabinet. That's a good step, but are they willing to turn away from wickedness? Are they willing to say, you know what? We have lost our way. We are responsible before God. He's going to hold us accountable. We had better do what we are supposed to do. It's hard to turn away from wickedness because a lot of people benefit from it. They're thinking, oh, we stop being corrupt and then we go broke. And we don't have any money. And we don't have any power. And we don't have any authority. No way. And we don't have any fun. We don't have any free cars and free fuel and all those. Are we willing to turn away from our wicked ways individually? The corruption all across the world is a sum, a total of individuals choosing to act contrary to God's commands. Individuals. And then all of a sudden, the world is completely in a mess. A city, messy. A country, messy. Are we individuals willing to turn away from our wickedness? Now, I tell you what, it's very easy to pray, right? Just open up your mouth. It's very easy to seek the face of God. It's very easy to read the Bible and discover that, oh, God wants me to act this way. But are you actually willing to act that way? And that's the difficulty. Then 1 Timothy, we read it to verses 1 to 4. The biggest prayer item there that Paul mentions is that men should be saved. Pray for all people, for all in authority. And he says that men would be saved, that they would come to the salvation that is found only in Jesus Christ. So that the wickedness of the heart is dealt with. We know scripturally that the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know its ways? So the solution is Jesus. He has a solution to all wickedness. Probably saw the terror attack in Manchester, and that is just one of them. And you're thinking, that could have been a relative. I mean, Lillian is just moving to the UK, and she's going to be in South London. Could have been, I mean, it can happen to anyone. And the solution is not increasing security, much as that has to happen. We can have security patrols and security cameras. But those things don't deal with the sinfulness of the heart. They will help, but that can happen anywhere. Because that security is not going to cover every corner of the world. And it is the gospel of Jesus Christ, his death on the cross to forgive the wicked heart. He has a solution for that. And we need to pray that men and women in this country, whether they're leaders or followers, would turn away from their wicked ways and turn to the righteousness of God. And you know what? Then I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. When there is confession, when there is a commitment to surrender all evil at the cross and to receive a new heart, then God will hear, he will forgive, and he will heal. And that is our place, place of prayer. And that's our place. We are those who are called by the name of God. We are called Christians, followers of Christ. And I pray that you'd make it a point regularly to pray for our country, to pray for the people, to pray for the leaders. That God would remove some and replace them. God would anoint some. God would establish his kingdom in their hearts. That God would draw them to the truth. That God would continue using the church. Pray that the church would continue shining and being salt to the earth. Pray for yourself that you would not give in to the wickedness that we see God punish, but to righteousness that God gives for free. Pray for those who are deceived. They are following a lie. They are those who cannot see the truth. In fact, the truth is hidden from them by their own leaders. Pray that they would open up their Bibles like Daniel and discover the will of God. not depending on somebody, some prophet or some apostle, some figure, but that they would depend on God. And I know that, and you know also that a lot of Christians have become very fanatical about their prophet or their pastor. They exalt the words of their leaders more than the word of God. That's quite dangerous. Pray that they would actually come to the truth of God, not just something that some guy is saying out there. So we're going to do what Daniel did. He prayed. He was in intercession. So let's get up and pray. Let's take some time and pray for all people, whoever comes to your mind. Pray for those in authority. Pray that they would come to bow down before Jesus, to receive his forgiveness, and to receive his salvation. Amen? All right, let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for making it possible for us to pray through the death of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, through him you opened the door that no longer do we have to go through anyone but one great high priest, Jesus Christ. Lord, as Daniel saw the need in the state of Jerusalem, Lord, we see the need and the state of our own cities and countries. And you are the only one who has a solution to all these problems. Only you can deal with a wicked heart. Only you can lead a sinner to salvation. Only you can draw many to yourself through your Spirit, O God. We want to pray that many would confess their sins and come to you for forgiveness, O God. We want to pray that many devastated lives may be restored and rebuilt, that those who have lost hope may be revived and re-strengthened, that those who are lost may be found, those who are in need, Lord, would find provision in you. Those who are hungry, we have a food shortage in the country, O God. You say that we would not survive on bread alone, but on you yourself, the bread of life. Lord, may you even cause all these needs and all these problems to draw many to yourself. You can easily supply bread, God, but majorly you want men and women to find you the bread for all eternity, the satisfaction for all eternity. But we have a financial crisis. Lord, may we rest in you. We pray that you may provide for the needs, of God. And give your people rest, of God. May the troubled find peace in you. Lord, may those torturers repent. May those who are tortured be healed. May you heal them from all the trauma, all the pain, all the wounds, O God. May those who are grieving loss of their loved ones find comfort in you. Lord, may you continue pouring down your Spirit upon the young and the old, as you promised, that they would fulfill kingdom mission, O God. May you continue giving us your spiritual and supernatural abilities to shine in this darkness. Lord, may you heal the sick. May you heal the brokenhearted, the lonely, O God, the devastated, the abused, the rejected, the oppressed, O God. Only you can heal. May you heal our minds, O God. May you lead us in your righteousness. Pray for the church, O God. Those who are called by your name, those who follow you. We pray for righteousness. We pray for fruitfulness. We pray for effectiveness, O God. We pray for your truth to be known and to be lived out, O God. But we want to pray for unified effort in advancing your kingdom, O God. that the pastors would teach, oh God, evangelists would declare the gospel, that teachers would strengthen and disciple, God. Missionaries would go out and redeem the lost from darkness, oh God. That we all would be effective and faithful to your God. That we may be obedient. And that, Lord, your blessings may come upon us, oh God. Lord, may you shine your face upon us, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray.